The meeting to order. Seems like everybody's here. I'll start with a motion to approve the June 3rd meeting minutes and transcripts.
I'll make a motion, Heidi.
Heidi, second?
I'll second.
That's Jonathan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oppose? Abstain? Okay, terrific. The first on the docket we have is Brandon Bogart and Victoria Reed. I had invited them here for a couple of reasons. One is this group at our very first meeting of the session of this year, it was expressed that there's a lot of interest in understanding what's going on in response to opioid overdose and what we're doing in the county, and also the work that they're doing does involve several of the departments in criminal justice, law enforcement, and so it seemed fitting that they take a few minutes and talk about a couple of their efforts that they're working on right now. So I don't know, Brandon or Victoria, which one of you wants to take the lead?
I'll talk. So hi everybody, like Eve said, I'm Brandon Bogart. I'm a project coordinator with the Rural Health Network at Ellenville Hospital. This month we are moving into implementation on a grant we just got from the Bureau of Justice Assistance with the intention of starting what we're calling a high risk mitigation team, which kind of has a couple of different subsets. So the two that really pertain to this group mostly are a new data system we're creating that we're calling the Network Engagement Tracker, or the NET system. And going along with that data system is a opioid prevention response team. So the data system is meant to be used by pretty much anybody who might come in contact with somebody who's in the spectrum of opioid treatment, or any substance use treatment, really. So that being a lot of arms of law enforcement, the courts, any treatment facility, hospitals, psychiatric facilities, that kind of thing. Basically, what it does is if an at-risk person consents to have a profile created for them in the system, they'll have a profile, and then any of those partners that I mentioned before that this person comes in contact with will be able to go in, look at that person's profile, and add what we're calling events. Those events being anything that puts them at higher risk of either relapsing or having an overdose. So these being mistreatment appointments, showing up in the emergency room for something that's not an overdose but is substance use related, overdoses, leaving an inpatient facility, and a few other things. Once that agency goes in and adds that an event has happened to this person, that triggers an alert that'll get sent to an assigned care navigator that person will have, and that triggers the response of the overdose prevention response team. So the agency goes in, puts in that the person missed an appointment, an alert is sent to their care navigator, and their care navigator is able to actually go to the person's house, go and see them in person, and ask them, you know, what led to this event? Why did you miss your appointment? Was it transportation issues? Was it, you know, did you have a relapse or an overdose? And then the person is able to kind of help them mitigate all those things. The other part of it is the sheriff's Oracle team. They're kind of handling immediate overdoses, but how they're working with us is if there is an overdose, they're talking to the person and getting them in contact with our care navigator or peer to try and get them involved in the program and have a profile built for them in the data system. So all of that, along with the other facet of the project, is an opioid fatality review team. So if there is a fatal overdose, this team will kind of get together and put a case summary of the whole person's kind of life story, and any treatment attempts that they've made or any other ways that people could have intervened, and really prevented this overdose. So that whole team, whether they're on the fatality review board, they're part of the overdose prevention team, or they're working in the data system, will also get together once a month and kind of do case studies to see where are we frequently kind of losing these people and where are they getting lost in the cracks. And hopefully the end result of this will be more people having success when they go into treatment, and also less overdoses. Unless Victoria, I missed anything. If there's any questions, I could take some.
Heidi.
Has this modeled anywhere else, and has this type of a system been implemented and used, and what were the results if so? Or is this a pilot first time for our area for the hospital?
The data system is really fairly new and kind of thought up by more Victoria, but the overdose response team or the overdose prevention team is sort of a pilot, but there are a lot of other states and counties and other states that are doing overdose response teams. But that's more kind of what Oracle is doing. So we kind of took that and molded it to really pilot actually responding to the situations that then cause an overdose.
So it would be fair to say that this is something new that our county is in partnership with Ellenville Regional Hospital doing?
Yep.
Good. Thank you.
No problem.
Other questions? And I'm just popping around. So if I don't see you raising your hand, let me know. And so, Brandon, was there specifically something that you needed to connect you, that support either from the, I can't recall if it's the district attorney's office or sheriff's office or probation, since these people are on this call now?
Not particularly at this moment. A lot of those people we've already been in contact with. We're working with the sheriff's team and Oracle pretty closely because they're a really big part of it. And we're also have been in contact with the DA and getting some of the court systems involved because we're hoping to be able to put in court appointments or missed court appointments into that data system too.
Great. Any other questions? Yeah,
Madam Chair.
Go ahead, John.
So from what I can gather from now, and I didn't know you were going to be here in the past, this is not a program to prevent people from starting drugs or experimenting with them or taking them. It's to try to help them once they're a confirmed addict or they've had problems. Is that correct?
That is pretty much correct. Yeah, a lot of it will help us kind of inform other prevention messaging too, which can be used in that way to kind of prevent it from the start. Because using this will help us gather some information on that. But mostly, yeah, the project is aimed at people who are already have a substance use disorder.
Well, you know, may I, Madam Chair, I wish you luck there, my friend. I've been dealing with this for years. Before anybody even knew it was a pandemic. And since you're here, I'd like to suggest that any legislator who's listening or you folks go back to 2013, local law number 1 or 2 that was passed to try to identify students of need, students at risk in the school systems, was passed by this legislature. The administration that was there didn't really want to be bothered. And if you went and see one of the reasons, look at any of the correspondence as to why it never took hold, is because it was dealing with the people in the education system. And somewhere in my file system, I have a letter from them in essence saying, on the advice of attorneys, we don't want to cooperate with this. This is going back to 2013 to work with the schools and the county mental health people to identify students at risk. I wish you the best of luck, but you got a real row to hoe there, my friend, because if you can save people who have a problem, that's wonderful. We have to start trying to save people before they start. And I'd like to ask you folks, go back and check, and if I'm not exactly right on my numbers, because I wasn't prepared for this, I think if Jay's around, she would know what local law number 1 that passed and then was never followed up on. And young man, thank you for your time and good luck to you guys.
Thank you. So we could certainly look, find that and see. Maybe it's a very different time now. So be very interested in seeing what that was. Are there any other questions or comments before we move on? And again, I'm popping between screens so I don't miss anybody. All right. So seeing none, we will move on to our resolution. So Brandon, Victoria, I mean, you're welcome to stay, but if you, you know, we understand you don't have to, it's all up to you. Okay, so the first resolution is resolution number 235, confirming the appointment of Lauren Shealy as the director of Ulster County Public Defender's Office. So just a few pieces of housekeeping. So during this, so first of all, and this is kind of new to me, so I'm kind of somewhat regurgitating things that I was told, so if I get anything wrong, people can help clarify. This isn't exactly a job interview. It would serve, there was already a job interview. This is a process, an opportunity for us in the legislature who must vet these candidates to do that, go through that process. And so there's several questions that I was provided from legislative leadership that I'm gonna go through. And after that, I will open the floor if any other legislators have any other kinds of questions. So pay attention to what was already asked so we could do our best to not repeat those kinds of questions. But obviously if you have a follow-up to anything, you know, just jot it down, and then when we get through the whole list, we'll open the floor for you. It's necessary that the final vote for this occurs in the full legislature. So at this point, our acceptance of this resolution is to allow it to move on to Ways and Means. And it's not really you're not making this decision right now about whether this individual is the right fit for this position. We need to move it along to Ways and Means because this decision has to be made by the full legislature. So just in terms of that process. Yes, Herb.
Because this is listed as a personnel issue, should this be done in executive session?
Thank you for asking. So the decision that was brought up, and it was brought up with council, that the question and answer part of it is public, but that any conversation that we're going to have about this will need to be in that kind of situation. And I don't know, Chair Donaldson, if you want to add anything to that. You're on mute.
I'm sorry, since this is a confirmation, more like a interview, it is the person is going to be or not going to be hired by the county. You do not need to go into personal, you don't need to go into executive session, but if we ask anything that's, you know, actually personal or our debating or discussing it afterwards, we would go, most likely go into executive session and but then come out to vote. But as he pointed out, due to our charter, it has to go to the floor regardless, because we have to vote by the entire body.
Any other procedural questions before I proceed? Heidi, is your hand up?
Yeah, okay. I would like for you to explain what happens if it does fail in the committee.
Well, I guess that's my request, is that it doesn't, that what we're passing is the acceptance allowance that this should go to Ways and Means, and it should go to the floor. It would procedurally be problematic because it would not allow, if it stops here, it never allows the full legislature to make a vote on this, and then what would it mean by default? The appointment would follow, would happen. So
according
we
to the charter, yeah, according
to
the charter,
and so it then right. So it puts the right, and so the charter does require that the full legislative body gets a chance. So the same is going to be true in Ways and Means. They're going to need to just approve moving it to the next stage, and then that way the full legislature will make their decision.
Okay, I think Dean has a question.
Yes, Dean. Oh, you're on mute. Sorry, Dean, you're still on mute. Do you want me to unmute you?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, okay. Perfect.
Thank you. So my question would be, so was this for all then appointments that would have to go automatically to the floor of appointments of any personnel?
Yeah.
In these positions, Dave, that's they all would go to the floor.
Technically, any nominee, no matter what department head, still has to go to the floor in the legislature, yes.
That's in the charter, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right. Any other questions before we proceed? Okay. So once again, I'm going to start with the questions that were provided to me by the legislative leadership. And then I will open up the floor to any other questions that legislators have. So I'm going to just start briefly. You were all provided the job description, but I'll just read a short segment because the questions are specifically related to this section, and so that way it has its context. So under full performance, knowledge, skills, abilities, and personal characteristics, a comprehensive knowledge of the principles and practices of criminal law as applicable to state and federal law, comprehensive knowledge of criminal court procedures and the rules of evidence, a high degree of skill in the preparation of brief, skill in the presentation of a defense before a jury, ability to analyze, appraise, and apply legal principles, facts, and precedents to legal problems, ability to communicate effectively and to establish a rapport with indigent defendants, initiative, tact, good judgment, good physical condition. The minimum qualification is 5 years of experience as a practicing attorney in the field of criminal law, 3 of which must have involved court appearances in the trial of issues in this field. And so with that,
actually,
Lauren,
can I interrupt? Where are you getting that? That divergent from the state guidelines? There is a 40-year-old document with that in it.
That's not he's out of order, Reed.
Sorry.
This is a legislative hearing. And what he's talking about, it's a policy that was set in 1975 and in 1980 it was revisited. But it's a policy that every county in New York has. There's not a county that it does not have that.
Okay, that's absolutely incorrect.
I'm not going to argue with him, but he's wrong. And as a result, what happens is this is a legislative hearing, and he should mute himself because he's not part of this.
Well, if you're going to spread misinformation from 1975, that's two generations ago, David.
That
there
is not
New York State Defenders Association guidelines, which supersedes that code as a charter.
Point of order.
Yes, sir.
Is it still in effect, though?
Legislator Hefner.
Oh,
it's not.
Yes.
By the rules of the legislature, the chair, no one is to speak unless recognized by the chair of the committee. I hope we can respect that so we can move along this evening.
Thank you. And I'll just say, just for explanation, this was the backup that was provided to us with the resolution, and therefore I am reading it as it was provided as backup. So we'll proceed. So Lauren, are you ready? Okay. So the first one relates to the qualifications, some that were described here. So with regard to your criminal defense experience, how many written motions have you drafted and filed in criminal proceedings?
None in criminal proceeding.
Okay.
None.
The next one is, how many plea bargains have you negotiated on behalf of criminal defendants?
None.
How many juries have you personally picked in criminal cases during your career?
None.
How many jury trials have you handled from inception to verdict?
None.
How many bench trials have you handled in your career at the county court level? Just be bench trials.
Right, at the county court level? None. At other courts, hundreds.
Okay, and these are all bench trials?
Yeah.
Great, okay. Do you want to tell us about, can you describe the typical bench trials that you've handled? And ensure that they're trials, not summary proceedings.
Yeah. Well, oftentimes a lot of the cases I handled were technically brought as petitions and summary proceedings. However, they still proceeded to a full legitimate bench trial. So in that regard, I appeared, I'll use Kingston City Court as an example, where I tried many cases and appeared hundreds of times. I appeared in front of Judge Ball and Judge Kirshner in bench trials, presented our evidence, our clients, our questions, our closings, and completed full bench trials.
But just to clear, were any of them related to criminal cases?
No.
So they were typically what type of cases?
Civil.
Okay. Any bench trials that you handled in the New York State Supreme Court?
No.
So have there been any criminal matters that you've handled from inception to disposition over your career?
No.
Again, it said in the description that in Ulster County, other counties across New York State, the requirement for the position of public defender includes 5 years of experience in the field of criminal defense and 3 years of trial experience. It's also required the public defender is highly skilled in presenting a defense to a jury in criminal proceedings. How do you feel that you meet these requirements?
Well, I mean,
or do you feel
technically, with regard to criminal, the criminal requirements you stated, the 5 and the 3 years, technically, I don't have that experience. I have lots of other experience and transferable skills and practical experience as an attorney of 13 years. I could expand on that and go on if I'm able.
Why don't I get through these first and then, just because I want to let's get through this first.
Okay.
Currently, there's a small number of attorneys that are currently at the public defender's office handle felony cases. The previous public defender handled most of the murder and other high-profile trials. If you're confirmed as the chief public defender of the county, would you be able to handle these? Do you have the experience to be able to handle these high-profile murder and felony trials?
So standing here today, I could have the experience to do those things, but I just want to clarify that in my research, I was able to find some information because I was just interested in knowing, and it appears since 2018, the public defender only handled or was involved in 5 cases. So 2 of them appear to be murder, and that's it. And that was in 2018. So I would argue that that's not 100% accurate, because that's not what was being done.
Yeah.
I would also argue that.
Well, we don't need to argue. I mean, it's not a matter of that. I have that it's that he averaged an active caseload of 20 felony cases. I think it's great that in Ulster County we didn't have too many murder trials. That's a good thing. in New York, attorneys are required to have the knowledge and skill in a particular area of law before taking representation. Do you believe you possess the requisite knowledge and skill in criminal law to handle criminal matters at any level?
I believe I possess the requisite knowledge in criminal law to supervise, to learn more, and to leverage the team to handle criminal matters across the board.
Okay. We're going to move to some policy issues. Can you please describe your position on both bail reform and discovery reform, both the initial and the reforms of the reforms, where we are currently? Do you feel that they are sufficient, or have they gone too far or not far enough?
Okay, so with regard to bail reform, from a defense perspective, and as public defender, I would be in support of bail reform. I know that the recent amendments added more offenses to the qualifying offense list, so that there's approximately 15 more categories of offenses for which cash bail can be set by a judge. I don't have any express objection to that. However, I'm in support of bail reform because under the old system, it was a two-tiered playing field. It was better to be guilty and rich than it was to be innocent and poor. And people were basically being punished for not being able to pay bail.
Do you think that we should be doing more? Do you feel that it's sufficient now with the new reforms, or do you feel that more should happen from the perspective of a public defender?
From the perspective of a public defender, I think it's sufficient now, and I would be wary to go further, especially when it comes into questions of judicial discretion in making decisions, which can bring in issues of racial bias.
Okay, and in terms of discovery?
Discovery reform, I think as a public defender, from a defense attorney's perspective, it's very helpful to our clients. It calls for open, early, and automatic discovery. So we're actually able to give our clients full information and disclosure of the facts and the evidence against them before they have to make a plea bargain or give up or forfeit their constitutional rights. So I think that the discovery reform is very important. And very, very important to defendants.
And just to repeat, do you feel that it's sufficient where it is now, or do you feel that it hasn't gone far enough or too far?
I think discovery reform is sufficient, and I would not like to see it amended by the people's position.
Were you asked any questions about criminal justice reform in your interview with the preliminary interview?
Oh, honestly, I can't recall the exact questions. I mean, I do believe we discussed the criminal justice system overall, and my passion for the community and the clients.
But not the actual reforms, some of which are taking place this very month.
I'm sorry, I don't remember the actual question.
And do you feel that these reforms how would they affect the way you handle the defense of an indigent defendant?
Well, I mean, like the reforms we just discussed, bail and discovery. Yeah, I mean, it would affect my clients positively. Especially with the discovery, being able to get the information that's going to be, the evidence and the facts that's going to be used against them prior to them having to give up any constitutional rights. It's good that no bail is set for the non-qualifying charges. And it's great that where bail is permissible, the judge now has to offer three different types. So it gives more options to the people, to our clients. I'm sorry, you're muted.
Yeah, I'm muted.
Please make sure you're all muted, is what I just said, even though I was muted, so that Lauren doesn't get interrupted. Thank you. Okay, so the public defender is required on a weekly, if not daily, basis to use their judgment to decide how to best present the defense in major felony cases. In turn, the public defender must make decisions regarding how to use the county's limited financial resources, either for expert witnesses, like DNA or blood splatter experts or other investigative measures during the case. How would you go about making these decisions in light of the fact that you have had limited experience in criminal matters, as a prosecutor?
Well, like I said, I would, make every possible effort to learn anything that needs to be learned, but primarily I'd be leveraging the team. There's an office full of extremely competent and knowledgeable attorneys. There's an acting public defender right now that's, available and, 20 plus years of experience. And I would leverage the experience of the people surrounding me to make those decisions. I also say with regard to limited resources, the good news is that the state does provide a lot of opportunities for that office in terms of criminal defense. There's, state funding that will make those resources, that makes those resources available to the public defense office. And so I would like to be involved in that process and making sure that we're taking advantage of all of the money on the table so that any of those tools we need to use for our clients are going to be available.
So I just want to, I'll just restate it. I guess the question is related to the leadership of that process as opposed, it's certainly great to rely on people who have the experience, but the responsibilities will land with the person who has this position first and foremost. And, any issues that go wrong can be a lawsuit against the county. So in terms of as a leader, what role will you take to lead this process?
As a leader, I would be an active listener. I would solicit the opinions and the advice of my team and, almost make the decisions together with obviously the final decision or authority laying with me as a public defender, but I don't overlook the expertise that is there and would never undervalue it. I would always want to consult the team and get different opinions and try to make these decisions informed and together.
Okay, I have one last question and then I'll open it up. The public defender's job requires the management of assistant public defenders in the 33 or so local justice courts across the county, as well as the City of Kingston Court and County Court. This has historically included weekly, if not daily, calls from judges and assistant district attorneys seeking the public defender's assistance with issues arising during the court's calendar. How do you plan on handling the oftentimes sensitive legal and procedural issues that arise in the court justice setting?
I would handle them as they come in. Again, anywhere that I felt like I needed input and the knowledge of the team, I would consult the attorneys and the, I guess it's called the deputy public defender. I'm sorry, I don't know the exact title. And I would be available for the courts and the prosecutors or whomever to reach out and make sure that there was an open line of communication so that I could appropriately, speak to everyone and form relationships and make sure that we all sort of have an understanding and that we're working together in the delivery of justice.
All right, thank you. So I will open up the floor. So please raise your hand and be recognized so that we make sure that this process is a civil matter. Legislator Haynes.
Hi, good evening. I'd like to say hi to Ms. Shealy. And with that being said, we got off, kind of on a rocky start here, and I would like to back it up just a little bit. I'm still concerned with the fact that where did this backup piece of information come from this resolution? That's number one. But before we get into that, because I think that's going to take a little bit more time, I'd like to hear perhaps equivalent experience regarding her criminal defense. She says she doesn't have the criminal defense knowledge. However, perhaps she's got equivalent experience. But I'd like to hear a little bit more about what she could bring to our county that perhaps previous public defenders have not. And I'd also like to know if she has any information regarding grant writing or funding, looking up funding streams as well.
Thank you. Lauren, just hold that question for a second, just as a port. Do I need a motion to discuss this, to open this up, or Jonathan's shaking his head no. Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to confirm because I was asked. All right. Sorry, Lauren, please proceed.
Thank you. I do have some thoughts and remarks sort of prepared in order to give you an overview of me and my experience. So I've been practicing law for 13 years, 10 of which I have spent serving indigent and underserved clients who have been fighting for their livelihoods and their freedom. I want you to know about me that I'm more than a tenants attorney. During my 10 years at Free Legal Service Providers, I had to adjust and adapt my practice areas countless times. When the funding would change or go away, our positions would be changed and our jobs would be moved. So I had to adapt and learn on a regular basis. So I've practiced and or supervised disability law, social security, elder, housing, child advocacy, immigration, domestic violence and crime victims, family court matters, matrimonial, public benefits, foreclosure, bankruptcy, discrimination, and civil rights matters. And I've handled general legal issues facing veterans, the LGBTQ plus community, and people with or affected by HIV/AIDS. When I was transferred to the Legal Services Kingston office around 2013, I fought for our residents when everything was against them. My clients were poor and they were desperate, and many of them were accused of alleged wrongdoing. Many of my clients were disliked and attacked by the opposition, even in open court, but I defended them and stood by them proudly. One time I literally shielded my client with my body as the opponent was screaming and calling her names, but I was proud and stood with her. As a general practitioner at a free legal services provider, you have to be ready to spot all of the legal issues in your client's cases. You have to take action where needed in a timely manner. You have to ensure that their non-legal issues are being addressed, and you have to zealously advocate for your clients in all situations. And you also need to triage and get your clients the best possible outcomes under the circumstances. Over my years in public interest, I have litigated hundreds of cases. I have helped hundreds of people and their families avoid homelessness. I have helped hundreds obtain life-saving benefits and services. I have prevented dozens of illegal lockouts. I have identified systemic issues and trends against populations in this county, such as seniors, and then made it an office priority to fight for their rights against the oppressive party, who took every advantage of them. I have helped people clean out their homes so they can stay there. I have helped hundreds of people navigate complicated processes to get the help that they needed to survive.
Thank you, Lauren. I want to make sure people all get a chance to ask more questions. So I'm going to open up the floor for another question. Let me just pop around. Chair Donaldson, did you have your hand up? You're on mute.
I'm sorry. So there is also a correspondence that just came from the New York State Defenders Association that should be included in this discussion. It just came in. I don't know if they can share that with others, but they should probably see that.
I'm sorry, what are you asking for something to be shown?
Yeah, it's the New York State Defenders Association that got sent. I don't know if we need to share it. I mean, but everybody should be sent that particular letter that just came in today. So they can understand what this is about.
I'll make sure Jay, we'll figure this out after the meeting and make sure it gets sent out. Do you have a specific question?
Yeah. Yes. First, I want to thank Warren for all that she has done in her career helping out indigent people. I mean, it's very laudable. But what I'm looking at is this is the public defender's office, and I can tell you where that document came from. It's a policy document, and it came from personnel department. Okay, so you know, Heidi, it came from the personnel department. We have documents and qualifications for everybody, no matter what the job is, and that's where that came from. Anyway, so. I'm really I am appreciative of that. This is a public defender's position, and it is the public defender. How would you actually help out another public defender? I mean, if he's having certain troubles and he comes to the you as the public defender on how he can be helped at his trial, if you don't have criminal law experience.
You said, how can I help him in his trial?
Yeah, in the trial or he's coming before you because he's having difficulty as he faced a particular thing.
Right. I mean, I am a lawyer and I am a good lawyer. And I have excellent litigation and trial experience. So I can help a person prepare for trial, honestly, no matter what kind of trial it is. There are principles and analyses that are conducted. And usually the best way to prepare for a trial is with your team and your peer, right? So I would hope that they would come to me and their team for help or questions about trials. You sit down, you organize your information and your evidence, you prepare and you troubleshoot your questions. That's direct examination and cross-examination. You practice your questions together. In every way, I could support and empower the public defenders in their trials, and not just criminal, but family too, because that's a significant portion of that office.
How many jury trials have you had? How many jury trials have you had?
I have not gone to a jury trial. Mine have always been consented to bench or pleaded out.
Okay, legislator. Sorry. Did you have another? Can I move to Heppner and we'll get back to you if you have another question?
Sure.
Thank you, legislator Heppner.
Yes. Again, thank you, Lauren. I just had a question. So my understanding is that the executive saw applications for this position. So I'm assuming you applied for it, which is my understanding. You've obviously had a very distinguished career in legal services of the Hudson Valley. It's a great organization. I thank you for the work you did there. I'm just on a somewhat personal level and just out of curiosity, it's obviously, that office, although there are similarities in terms of the backbone being advocacy, what is it that, made you interested and want to make that move into a more, into a public defender's office, which is, very much a very different arena.
Right.
Especially in terms of, the criminal law aspect of it. So what was it that, made you want to apply for the position?
Yeah, I mean, listen, to be honest, the criminal portion is the only portion that, I've not completely dealt with and managed before. I want the position because I feel as though I'm dedicated to the underserved and the indigent populations and the people who need these services, and I want to help them, and I want to be a part of that and the change in this incredible time of life that that everyone is sort of demanding. You know, I want to be a part of that, and I want to be a voice for the community and the clients and their families, and I want to use my passion and my, you know, my caring for them to their best benefit, and use my voice in the community and in commissions or reforms or policy conversations, however I can. I also just want to say that, you know, there's a huge, huge administrative portion to this job. And I will just mention that my statistics from the public defender's office say that since 2018, the public defender assisted on 5 cases. This is a heavy, heavy job that does not only incorporate criminal law, but a huge family court unit. Currently, the trial practice numbers are like 8 times what they are. There was 169 trials completed in the family court unit, and there was 20 completed for the criminal court unit. And that's federal, because the misdemeanors and the violations are done by the private part-timers in the justice courts. But that's significant. I mean, that's something that I know that I can contribute to. And I have the exact knowledge and experience that is needed for the administrative portion. I know that's sort of like boring and maybe doesn't seem that important, but I think that the grants and the contracts and the funding and the attention that needs to go to those parts of the office should not be overlooked. There's a lot of money on the table, and there's more money there that the office is not using. I want to play an active role in getting all of the resources for that office. There's like 7+ positions to be filled. There is a lot of work to be done.
Okay. Legislator Donaldson, you had another question? You're on mute.
I'm unsure where you have the facts in reference to the prior public defender, because he was in court every week. He may not have ran all the cases right to their end, but he was in court virtually every week. Maybe it's the ones that he completed that you're talking about. I don't know. But I know for a fact he was in court almost virtually every week. But I mean, you can't take me saying he's going to be there every week, but he was there virtually every week. He had a full load himself. So I'm not sure where that came from.
It came from his office, his administrative staff. They ran a report on the program.
He was in court as a private attorney every week. He had his own private law practice.
Yeah.
I have a note that there, just to let you, the legislators know that the memo from the New York State Defenders Association was uploaded to the committee's OneDrive, and it'll be emailed to the other legislators and to Ways and Means tomorrow. So I just wanted to make sure you knew that. Legislator Haynes?
Yeah, Ms. Shealy, you indicated that you were doing cases for the City Kingston Police Department. Was that a heavy caseload, or what was that like?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. I'm sorry.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. You indicated that you were working cases for the City of Kingston Police Department. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, for the City of Kingston Court.
City of Kingston Court.
Yeah.
How many cases was that? What was that caseload like?
It was a heavy caseload. As a staff attorney, the caseloads were usually over 100 cases at a time. As a manager, I would advise against that many cases. I don't think it's wise. I don't think it's fair to the clients or the attorneys. So as a manager, you know, part of my role was to monitor caseloads, which is, you know, another huge role of the public defender, to monitor cases and caseloads. Kingston City Court was our busiest court. We had our most cases there. We also had in-court attorney programs that I initiated upon obtaining funding, where we had people doing intakes and were there in court available to the people to show up at their first appearance because that court would not give adjournments to litigants. I'm sorry, I think that answers your question.
Thanks. I just want to make sure that legislators who are not on the committee, you should feel comfortable asking questions if you have questions too. You don't just have to be on this committee. So I just want to make sure those of you who are joining us feel comfortable asking because this is an opportunity.
Thank you, Chairman.
Others? Chair Donaldson?
Yeah, do you know how many of the members of the Public Defender's Office actually handle the felony cases?
Yeah, I am fairly certain it's around, and don't quote me, but it's around 8.
Did you have a follow-up question to that?
No, I just was wondering if...
I believe.
And how many of them do the murder trials? Do you know who does the murder trials or have done them?
I can find it.
While you're looking, Legislator Heppner, did you want to say something?
No, I thought you were moving on. Legislator Haynes had her hand up.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. but I wanted to give Lauren a chance to finish. But yeah, do you want to get back to...
Sorry.
Okay. No, go ahead.
There are felony assistant public defenders of those full-timers. There's ones designated for certain things and certain courts. So in talking to the current acting public defender, he strategizes in who he assigns to what, in what he assigns to who. And then also it depends on the current caseloads because you have to be careful of how many cases that each has. He said that he likes certain attorneys have certain strengths and he tries to match those attorneys with the types of cases. And I, at this point in time support that analysis and would, welcome becoming privy to that and getting to know the team and knowing where to appropriately place cases.
Legislator Haynes?
Well, that didn't answer the question because they asked who did murder trial.
I'm sorry.
The question which one of them do the murder trials? Is what I asked, if you knew which one was that. Now, you're talking about the present person that's in the office right now that came from the DA's office, is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Okay. Legislator Haynes?
Yeah, do you know what the breakdown of the caseload for the public defender's office was?
So I don't know their caseloads currently, but what I'm looking at is the numbers from the 2019 report that the office submitted to the state, and that's giving sort of breaks down the case numbers in terms of the types of cases that are handled. That's where I got the 20 total criminal trials completed and 169 family court trials completed.
And I just have one last question. I know I've been asking a lot of questions.
No, it's okay.
Sorry. Alternative sentencing. Is that something that you're willing to support?
Yes. Yes. I mean, I think it's
you
super...
Said you worked with Judge Ball. I'm assuming maybe perhaps you've dealt with drug court. And is that something that you're willing to support alternative sentencing?
I mean, alternatives to incarceration and the conversation and the creativity that the public defender and the DA and the judges need to come together and discuss is super important. Now more than ever, we need to have those conversations about alternatives to incarceration. And I have great relationships with Judge Ball and Judge Kirshner. In fact, I feel as though I have good relationships with all of the judges I've appeared in front of, and it's very important.
I have one. Our former public defender was in that position for quite a long time. In your interest in this position, this might be a two-part question, I guess, depending on how you answer it. Have you reached out to him and talked to him about this position?
No, but I certainly would. We were friends. In fact, last year in September, I had just taken my job at the county attorney's office, and he asked me to be his deputy. And I couldn't take it because I had just switched jobs, and it would look poorly on me. But I like him, and I would certainly like to reach out to him.
But you haven't, in terms of deciding whether you wanted this position. You didn't. No. Haven't talked to him about it at all. Okay. Other questions? Let's pop around.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Legislative Parody.
Just a comment. I really would have enjoyed, and this is not a criticism, and you can just, it's a tough job you got. This is probably the first time I've heard of one of these sort of hearings with this interest in a while. I would love to have heard a lengthy opening statement where then we would have an opportunity to ask some questions based on the opening statement, or maybe have some questions that we had answered in the opening statement. And believe me, this is the first time. It's a tough job and you're doing well. I would like to have heard an opening statement, that's all.
I have one prepared.
I just want to make sure people know that the full resume is available. It's a part of the packet of the resolution. I just want to make sure you all
see it. I get it.
And this is not the job interview. I mean, the job interview had occurred, maybe I'll allow a brief closing, but let me just make sure there's not other questions first, because we do have a few other things to get through. So are there any other... Okay, so I'll, in light of the request from Legislative Parody, there obviously could not be an opening statement because we can't go back in time right now, but if you want to briefly close this out and then we can move on, sure. Unless I see any other questions.
Okay.
Okay, so let you do one last bit.
Okay. I wanted to mention to you that I don't believe being a criminal attorney means that you can or should be the public defender. I think there's much more to this role than criminal defense. And I mentioned that, such as the family court and the significant program administration. It's a grant-driven office with a large staff. And I feel as though, from my experience, that you will need more than a criminal attorney in that role. I believe the role of public defender should not be pigeonholed. Rather, it should be filled by an attorney with significant administrative experience, a diverse legal background, and a commitment to the underserved community. This is where I have the experience that no other attorney has. Because of my unique history at Free Legal Services Providers and my experience with indigent clients in crisis.
Thank you. And I really appreciate that you came here. I recognize this has got to feel very stressful. And I know you're going around and talking to a lot of people. You understand this is all because this position, like many positions, are super important to us, and as it is to everyone. And so it's everyone's goal that the absolute best person is there. And so I hope you appreciate, you know, that everything comes out of identifying, making sure, because this, as you know, I would hope that this is an extremely important job, and we got to do it right.
Yes, I don't take it lightly. I appreciate that.
Right. So
thank you for your time.
Yeah. So thank you so much. I got to find my agenda. Yes, Chair Donaldson.
Yes, in order for us to discuss this.
Yeah.
We would need to go into executive session to make the discussion on what was done and said.
Are we doing that now, or are we just doing a vote to move past the resolution on what?
That's up to you, as the chairman of the committee.
I think that the discussion and executive discussion should involve the larger legislative body. And not just this group. So I think I would take I would suggest that we vote on passing the resolution on so that it could move on to Ways and Means. So all in favor of, yes? You're voting. I don't know if you're voting or.
No, I'm not voting.
You have something else to say.
Yes, Ways and Means, what they're going to be doing is discussion more of the finances, because there's some changes that are taking place, which are, I think, are good changes. But we have to discuss, you know, the merits, and then, I mean, we do have to pass it on. So if that's what you want to just do instead of having that discussion, that's okay.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is I think the discussion is going to have to happen, but that it's a larger body of the legislature. I think that there's several people who aren't here who need to be a part of that discussion. So I'm suggesting.
But they weren't a part of the interview.
True. Well, I mean, I'll open it. Laura, do you want to chime in on this?
Yes. What we have done is to go into executive session. You are allowed to have legislators in there, even if we're not on the committee. You would need to make a motion for that, but the press and the clerks wouldn't be. So
can I just interject? And I'm so sorry to interrupt,
What happened? Sorry, Jay, you froze.
Am I back?
Yes,
you're back.
Because of the number of people in this meeting that are not here for this resolution, to get them back at the appropriate time, I would prefer that you move this
to the end.
I think I understand what she's saying. So at this point, we'll just take a vote on this resolution.
I'll move the resolution. I'll move
okay.
The
all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I move it to the floor.
Opposed? Abstain? Okay. So we can, when Jay has bad service where she is right now, so you can even message me to get the point across. I see. Yes, Dean?
You're muted.
You're on mute.
You're muted, Dane.
I think he's all right. There you go.
I didn't even hear the question. What did you just say that we're doing now?
We approved the resolution to move out of this committee, and then as far as going into executive committee to discuss it, we'll sort that out. But at this stage, we're not going to do that. There's several people on this Zoom call right now. And having them gone and come back. So whether we do it at the end of this meeting or whether we schedule a separate time, we'll sort it out at the end of this meeting. But in the meantime, we just voted to move this out of, yeah. Is that any questions on that?
No, I just had a brief comment I wanted to make. I do agree to move it out of committee and send it to Ways and Means before the thing. But I just want to say that from what I heard tonight from the candidate, right off from the get-go, she was asked probably 7, 8, 9 questions about qualifications, and I heard no yeses. I heard all noes.
Okay, so I don't want to, I think it's probably best that we don't have this conversation publicly right now. So I hope everyone take notes, and so that you don't lose track of the whatever your feelings are. But for the sake of, because it's a discussing of personnel, we need to not do that right now. But I
understand.
You all should be heard.
Correct.
Okay. So hearing nothing else, we'll move on to resolution 248. Those of you who were, you're welcome to stay or go as you desire. Thank you.
Thank you all for your time.
Yep. So 248 is authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a contract with the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services for Raise the Age program. A motion to discuss?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. And just for those, a little background, this does date back to a couple of years ago, but the funding only just got approved. which is why it's before us right now. Is there any other discussion?
I'll move it.
Okay, all in favor of Resolution 248?
All right.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay, so moved. Next, we have Resolution Number 249, amending the 2020 Ulster County budget to adjust the annual salary of the public defender in order to be consistent with a full-time position. Motion to discuss?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Second? Okay. Any discussion?
Well, I have a question.
Hold on a second.
I'm sorry if I interrupt.
That's okay. We'll do Legislator Bartels, and then we'll get right to you.
You got it. Yes.
I don't mind letting John go first if he'd rather. I know he's on the
That's
committee.
All right. You're on, kiddo.
Okay. I don't have proposed language in front of me, but I just want to alert the committee. You know, I've been thinking about this resolution. One, I'd like to see a whereas that reflects the charters, the authority of the legislature to set the salary, just a whereas saying, you know, whereas the charter says that the legislature sets the salary. This is my comments are not about the actual salary. They're about the mechanism in the whereases.
So is there specific wording that you want to think of? Oh, okay.
No, I don't have it with me tonight, but I just want to let everybody know. I mean, I brought it up at the chair's meeting, and I haven't come up with the actual language, and hopefully it'll be a friendly amendment because it's not changing the numbers, but I'd like to have it recognized. This is a resolution that obviously came from the executive's office. And then there's this issue, which I just want to kind of point out, of full-time, about the charter actually says shall devote their full working time, which there's some discrepancy in people's understanding of that, whether or not that means you have to spend a full-time amount as the public defender, but then you can do something else on top of the full-time amount, or whether you have to spend your full working time, whether it's 10 hours a week or 100 hours a week as the public defender and not have any other jobs. So I'm trying to get some clarity on that. I've been talking to council about it. So I may be at Ways and Means. I may by then have some suggestions. Again, these are in the whereases. It's not the meat of it. It's not about the number, but I just want to let the committee be aware so that when this comes up, people aren't surprised.
So are you suggesting perhaps putting actual hours?
No, not at all. No, I'm just potentially suggesting changing those whereases.
Okay. Legislator Parody?
It seems to me many years ago, there used to be a disparity in pay between the county court judge and the district attorney, and the public defender was always a part-timer, and they adjusted them so that somebody wasn't coming into court as the stepchild, so to speak, that there's parity among the district attorney, the county court judge, the public defender's office. I don't exactly know what that law is or if it included a non-elected public defender, but I don't know if I want to see a budget change today, but I don't know the mechanisms, but they certainly should be on an equal footing in terms of being a full-time job and being recognized as an equal in our justice system here in Ulster County.
All right, duly noted. Any other discussion? I'm just popping around, see if I'm missing anyone. Okay, all in favor of Resolution 249? Opposed? Abstained? All right, so moved. Next we have Resolution Number 256, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Prime Care Medical of New York, funded through the Department of Mental Health. Motion to discuss?
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor of discussion? Okay, Mark, did you want to add something?
Yeah, you had questions at the chair meeting, Legislator Walter, and I just wanted to get back to you on some of those answers. You had asked about the $50,000 and where that came from. So if more MAT services are needed at the jail for the inmates, the sheriff's budget would provide this. What this contract does is it gets us $50,000 in state aid. This is 100% reimbursable from the, I believe, Office of Mental Health, or it could be OASIS.
It's OASIS.
But they provide the funding for this $50,000. So we basically get $50,000 of MAT services for free. If the inmates need more than that, it would go under the sheriff's regular medical contract.
Thanks. I think my question was, did OASIS provide parameters of an expectation that a certain number of people would be delivered MAT care under this? And also just knowing like how many people are currently getting medically assisted treatment at the jail, is this enough that covers it, or is there the need to go into others? So I guess the first part was, is did OASIS specify like how many people needed, they were expecting to be served by this?
They didn't. They specified that it was a $50,000 grant.
Okay. And then do you know how many people we currently serve and the cost of that provision?
I haven't gotten that from the sheriff yet. I mean,
just in ways and means, I think it's useful to know, like, is this covering the full need? Is this covering only half of the need?
I can obviously have that by ways and means.
Perfect. Thank you. Any other questions about this or discussion? Chair Donaldson, you're on mute.
I doubt if it's going to cover the entire bill for mental services there, but it would be nice if it does.
Just MAT services.
Just MAT services, yeah.
Right. So, it does have a, you know, it's nice to get the 50 grand anyway, otherwise we'd be paying it.
Others? Okay. All in favor of resolution number 256?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay. Last, we have resolution number 261, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into the county AccuCare Nursing and Home Care for emergency management. Motion to discuss?
So moved.
Second,
Heidi.
Heidi, okay. Mark, do you want to give us a little background on this one?
Sure. So while it's an emergency management contract, and I know Steve Peterson is here, it's really the contract that's being used right now for our contract nurses that we're using as public health nurses. As you can imagine, at any given time, Ulster County has 8 or 9-ish public health nurses and then a couple of supervising public health nurses. We realized pretty early on in COVID that was not going to be adequate. And as opposed to hiring permanent positions, we went to an agency. So we contract out the nursing, and we've spoken to FEMA. This is 75% reimbursable. Whereas if we would have hired a public health nurse, that wouldn't have been reimbursable. We're trying to wind down this contract as much as we can, but at the same time, we never know what the second wave looks like. So we tried to set it at an amount that we wouldn't have to come back here, but I can't promise that we won't be back with another amendment.
Any other discussion or questions? Okay, all in favor of resolution number 261?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay, next we have the Criminal Justice Reform Task Force update. The task force met, when did they meet? On June 24th. the conversation, we had an update in terms of the work related to restorative justice, but the primary conversation related to law enforcement reform. There were several people from the community who attended as well. We will be proceeding with that discussion. It is recognized that there is also a criminal justice reform commission that was put out by the executive's office following a requirement from the governor's office. It's still not clear how these two groups will work together or have separate goals. We're still in the early stages of both. I guess, Chair Donaldson, did you have a question or a comment that you wanted to make?
Yeah, the new one that was put together, do they have any members that are criminal defense attorneys or from that field on that task force?
The DA's there. Who was at the meeting? Heidi, do you remember who was at the meeting?
Well, if you can remember, that was a tough meeting for me to attend. But nonetheless, I don't remember any criminal defense attorneys that I'm aware of or off the top of my head, no.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't. The list of who is supposed to be on it is available. So we could just recirculate that list again. It has exactly the membership, unless it's changed in any way. Mark or John, has that membership changed from that list?
I don't believe so.
Okay, so we'll make sure that list gets around. Any other questions or comments? Okay, any new business? Any old business? All right, so now, Jay, I don't know how well I guess this is sort of old business. Is the desire of the legislature, or at least those people who are here now, to have some time in executive session to discuss the position of public defender at this point, or is the preference to set up a separate time? So I'll just sort of open that before we close this meeting in case you would like to have that time during this meeting. So any comments or thoughts? Dean?
Yes, I'd like to do it at another time because we have a 6:30 meeting scheduled.
Okay.
That sounds good. Anybody have any major concerns with that?
I agree.
Okay, wonderful. So, and I think it's important that it's sort of really scheduled and so that people all make sure they have the time set aside to do it. So I'm not sure whether that's something that comes from our end or somewhere else, but someone will figure that out. I heard the motion to adjourn. I'll take a second.
I'll second it.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you all. A lot of good work. I appreciate you all.
All of the other legislators that attended tonight also be notified when you're going to have that executive session?
Yeah. I think that's
thank you.
Very important. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up.
Have a good night. Be safe and healthy.
Thank you. You too.